Stuart McEntee is with us on the show today, and I'm just going to read you a bit from his GoFundMe page. It says, "It seemed that a life of chaos and addiction was to be my destiny from an early age. You lost your marriage, your children, your house, and nearly your life. Stuart, this is big business now. Talk to us about what happened."
I would have started using when I was young, and even 14, 15, but it just spiraled and escalated as I got older. I worked in hospitality, and it was more drinking culture, but it was also my own view of myself that would have had me wanting to be liked, wanting all this stuff in life, and it's just filling voids, filling gaps, and it just would have proceeded for years upon years, even through teenagers, early adulthood.
What did it start with, Stuart?
Drink.
Drinking.
Drink would have started with drink. I would have worked in pubs from an early age, and it seemed like the thing to do, you know. But it did just change everything, you know. It was that initial escapism straight away.
And there's such a culture in Ireland, this drinking culture anyway. I mean, how much drinking was it?
Oh, I would have drank constantly, like daily.
Drinking on the job?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a standard issue years ago. Like if you were doing splits or if you were working, you go for a couple of points in your break or whatever. And then obviously drugs came into play as well. But it was constant. It wasn't like you got a chance to sober up.
So you never kind of got that hangover feeling because you were always had drink on you?
Near enough. It was just one of them, not that it was normalised, it was just one of them things that kept happening.
And the people around you, your workmates and that, presumably they were kind of doing the same thing, so it didn't stand
out? Most of us were doing similar things, similar ages. But it was, if I fast forward, most of them people would have stopped and changed and had their families, had their stuff, and I stayed there.
And from what age was that, Stuart?
I would have been, even 17, 18, I was like that. Because I moved abroad then, and it just got worse.
Drugs came in as well. How did drugs come in, and what were you taking?
Well, it would have been ease, it would have been speed. It wouldn't have been, at that stage, it wouldn't have been cocaine, because cocaine, at the time in Ireland, like myself, couldn't afford it. It's still a different... The generations have changed now, the way society is now. All the younger generation would have done cocaine, where people, when I was younger, it wasn't a chance you would do cocaine because you couldn't afford it.
So was this in the 90s then, that whole kind of clubbing scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around that time.
I always remember around that time and seeing the front page of a Sunday World newspaper, and it was a teenager who died after taking ecstasy or something like that. And I remember we were so frightened as teenagers. It gave us that kind of shock to never do that. You must have seen these stories yourself. It didn't affect you, though. Did you think that it would never get to that with you?
It won't be me. Mm. And it would have been, around that time, it would have been big news in the UK and the big news here, the people dying, like the clubs in England, Green Ministry of Sound and all that, you know? Mm.
The dance scene,
But it wouldn't have given me the fear.
And then... Did you stay working? Were you able to keep your job? Was there not a boss that was saying to you, come on now, Stuart, like you're drinking on the job and you're all over the place?
If I put enough money in the till, it didn't matter. And strange enough, I was reasonably good at my job at the time, you know.
Because was it giving you that confidence?
It would have given me the confidence. It wouldn't have given all that, the egotistical bit of, look at me, that kind of behaviour, I suppose.
The friends that you mentioned who got their act together and moved on and, you know, got into their relationships and got married and had their families and all that, what was your situation?
I didn't change. I moved away. So I would have moved. I would have lived in Eastern Europe. I would have lived in Germany. I would have lived in Spain. I spent nearly 5 years in Holland. That was all chaos. I would have been in my 20s, you know. That's gone back 20 years now, you know. It was absolutely insane when you look at it now.
So did you settle down?
Eventually, when I came home, I probably would have been 26, maybe, give or take, a couple of years. I went back to work. I would have met my ex-wife at the time. We would have got married and started to try to do the norm things, I suppose. but I wouldn't have stopped the behaviour.
And that's so difficult in a marriage, isn't it? Marriage is hard enough without that as well.
Well, in real terms, like when we look at the evidence that presents, like the reason why marriage didn't work because I was in it. That's fact.
And the fact that the marriage was failing because of all these external things, the drinking and the drugs and that, and presumably, you know, spending money that you probably didn't have on these things when you need to be building a life together, that wasn't enough to stop you, though. This is the thing with addiction, isn't it?
You look for logic in addiction, you will not find it. I would have been completely aware. Did it stop me? No. I would have bought a house in Dublin for 2000, and that was the height of the boom. By 2008, that house was worth half the price. It didn't matter, you know.
And were you paying your mortgage and everything, or did you just let everything slide?
Well, in the end, the house went. The house was sold and everything was gone, you know.
And had you children as well, Stuart?
I have two children. I would have had small kids at the time. I'm lucky enough now, one of the kids wouldn't remember me drinking at all or doing drugs or anything, and the other one would have very little memory.
To miss out on those times, like the years that you never get back.
You never get them back.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough now, as we fast forward again, I have a great relationship with my ex-wife and my kids. My kids wouldn't really know, and I wouldn't suggest it's not the person's fault. We make our choices, we have our consequences. There's always consequences to actions.
You nearly lost your life, Stuart. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I would have been, at one point, I would have been probably 9 stone. And I'm 6 foot tall. Like, it's not a good look. And mentally, you go to a dark place. You don't want to be here. Nothing matters anymore. You don't want to wake up. You don't really want to go to bed. It's just a place where you wouldn't wish anyone upon.
And what was it that brought you back? Brought you back to life?
If I didn't change, I was going to die. And it's not that. I didn't fear dying. It wasn't a fear of death. I suppose it was a fear of living in so many ways that really changed it. I deep down knew if I didn't change, that was it.
So Cún Uaire, I've heard so much about Cún Uaire being this incredible place that has just transformed so many lives. And it did that for you.
It did. It did. Many, about probably 10 years ago, you know what I mean? With the likes of just support, help, connection, people, with positive people around you and help and all the stuff that it does offer. You can offer all the stuff, it doesn't mean each person will take it. There has to be willingness on both sides for people to put the work in to actually want to change. Change is difficult.
Did it work for you the first time, Stuart, when you went in? Because Cún Uaire is residential, isn't it? So
it's residential.
In. Yeah.
I would have been residential twice.
Okay.
The first time, deep down, I knew I wasn't finished. I knew I wasn't done. Second time, when people tell you it gets worse and it progresses and everything gets worse, I can rest assured it does. Because that's what happens. This is progressive. And there's one thing about treatment. Once you've seen the first time, you don't unhear it. You don't forget it.
Do you remember the first night there and how you felt and not being in your own home, being in this place? Can you remember that?
Honestly, absolutely not, because I wouldn't have come in. I wouldn't have come into treatment the healthiest, you know. You kind of come around a couple of days later and you have a realisation of where you're at, and this is it now.
And coming off the drugs, you see all these films, you know, someone coming off drugs and the hell that they go through trying to detox.
Between coming off drugs and drinking, it's horrific.
What are the symptoms? How does your body react?
You shake, you sweat, you don't sleep, and that could go on for weeks. Everyone's different. I wasn't well for weeks.
And then you just turn a corner.
I think you more have a realisation that there has to be something in this. It's like, the way your life was living wasn't serving me well by any stretch of the imagination. It was destructive. It was destructive. Everyone around me was hurt. Relationships were failing. Relationships were gone. This is either change or that's it. Because families, partners, kids, they'll only take so much. The bow always breaks.
So 10 years on, how are you?
Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. I would have stayed around Cumbria. I would have went to work. I would have went and got a degree in counselling with addiction. I'm now part of the drug unit full time, you know. I work with people. it's a completely different way of life, of living.
15 years ago, there's not a hope in hell you would have had your degree.
Not a chance.
Be doing work like this, helping other people as well. There was a light at the end of this tunnel, thanks to Cuan Mhuire. And that's why we'd like people to donate what they can today. We're going to tell you about an event that's happening. Cuan Mhuire, and I thought you do, it's drug rehabilitation, but also alcohol and gambling as well, which is a huge thing. I think particularly for young men as well at the moment.
Like gambling, everyone has a casino in their hand now with their phone. Like the gambling and the alcohol side is 12 weeks. The drug unit is 20 weeks residential. You could have another 100 beds here and you'd still have a waiting list.
Is it younger and younger people? And is it men and women, Stuart?
Men and women. There's a separate women's unit with 40 beds as well. The men are getting younger, so you can have lads in here 19, 20 years of age. Oh. You'll have men of 60. You know, like, in real terms, addiction doesn't discriminate at all. It just doesn't discriminate. And it's every walk of life. And people fail to remember or think most residential units in this country are private and are unmanageable and too expensive for normal people. Yeah. Like I couldn't, even when I came to treatment the first time, it would happen, this is a charity, this is affordable for everybody. If I was to go private, you're looking at 16 grand for 4 weeks.
Yeah, how could anybody do that? Nobody could do that. And especially somebody who's in a situation where they're addicted to alcohol or drugs and they probably don't have their job anymore because of it.
That's the reality we live in, the society we live in. When you look at even what the governments do with this, it's very minimal in real terms. The services, the support, it's not massively there. And I'd interact with a lot of services in Dublin, Kildare, Limerick, Cork, all over the country with people trying to get beds in our drug unit, the prison services, with everybody. And people do fail to remember this is their charity organisation.
Right, well, we want to get money in. And we want to tell everyone about your 24-hour endurance cycle at Mandela Park tomorrow from 12 o'clock. And you're looking for money. And this money is going to go towards the drug rehabilitation unit.
For a rebuild, yeah.
Yeah.
For a refurb.
Okay. Now, you've got a GoFundMe page.
I do.
How can we find that easily enough for people who might not be that tech savvy? How do we find it? Do we put in your name or what do we do?
Just donate Stuart's Cuan Mhuire 24-hour cycle towards recovery, and that's the GoFundMe page.
Okay, I'm looking at it here in front of me. Stuart's Cuan Mhuire's 24-hour cycle towards recovery. Picture of you there with your bike, wearing your Lycra. How have you prepared for this cycle? Have you been on a mad fitness buzz?
I'm reasonably fit. I'd be average enough, but I've just done enough. How do you prepare for 24 hours? It's more mind over body now. It's after about 12 or 13 hours. So it's a lot of it. This stuff is mental, as in it's your head that will stop first, not your legs.
Yeah. You've been through a lot worse, haven't you, Stuart, when you think back?
Correct. I can suffer. So this is manageable. And I'm hoping to hopefully do about 500K in 24 hours.
Will you check in with us next week and let us know how you get on?
I will indeed.
Thanks, Stuart, for sharing your story today. You never know when addiction is going to present itself to your door.
Every family has it somewhere. Every family in Ireland. This is a massive, massive social economic problem at the moment. And a lot of times it's being ignored. And really, that's not okay anymore, you know.
Well, Stuart, we wish you the best of luck. We'll be thinking of you. Saturday, 12 o'clock. I hope you have some padded shorts.
Absolutely.
Your bum is going to be aching.
Polite way to put it.
And the best of luck with your fundraising, because it's a great cause. We'll stick the link up on our social media as well so people can find it easily enough. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.